Viktor Frankl, in his book Man's Search for Meaning, describes an interaction he had with an elderly rabbi from Eastern Europe that, broken and crying, came to him to tell him his story, that he had lost his first wife and their 6 children in Auschwitz, where they were gassed. And now it turned out that his second wife was sterile and they couldn't have any kids. And so Viktor Frankl said he tried to explain to him that procreation is not the only meaning of life, because by definition, if procreation is the only meaning of life, then life itself wouldn't have any meaning. Because if life itself doesn't have meaning, then what would be the purpose of procreation to continue it? He tried to explain to him, but the rabbi was still crying and he wasn't able to be consoled. Because he said that because of the fact that he had no son, then who would say Kaddish for him? The rabbi began crying to Viktor Frankl that he had no one to say Kaddish for him after he died. So Viktor Frankl says that he didn't give up. And he asked him, "Don't you hope to see your children again in heaven?" But that made the rabbi outburst into even more tears. And the true reason for this rabbi's despair came to the fore. He explained that since his children, his 6 innocent sweet children that were killed at Auschwitz, died al Kiddush Hashem, they died as innocent martyrs, they would of course be worthy of the highest place in heaven, as the sages teach. But this rabbi cried that he himself, as an old sinful man, he couldn't expect to be assigned to that same place in heaven, in his opinion. And therefore he thought that he wouldn't be able to ever see his kids again, not even in heaven. And Viktor Frankl responded to him and said to him, "Rabbi, is it not conceivable that precisely this was the meaning of your surviving your children? That you may be purified through all your tears and your years of suffering so that you finally also could become innocent like your children and become worthy of joining them in heaven? Isn't that what it says in Psalms 56, that God preserves all your tears?" And with this, the rabbi was comforted. This gave him some sort of solace to know that there was meaning to his suffering, and there was meaning to his tears, that's what it means, that Hashem preserved all the Jews' tears throughout the centuries, that somehow they purify us as well. And maybe that's what King David writes in Tehillim in chapter 42, "Hoisli dimosi lechem yomim v'layla," that my tears are my bread day and night. What can that mean, that King David is saying that he actually ate his tears, that they gave him sustenance? Maybe it means in a deeper way that somehow the tears that we shed throughout the generations and all the tears that we all shed from our suffering, that the suffering itself somehow has meaning and they sustain us because they purify us. Some reason we need them to purify us and make us worthy in some way. And as difficult as that is for us to relate to, it is an idea that's found in our tradition, and it's some small comfort as we're about to enter again that most horrible day, which is all about crying. But you know, there's a bigger problem sometimes, a much, much bigger problem, and that's when we're not even able to cry, when we've become so numb from trauma, so completely apathetic and dead and numb inside because of so much suffering that we can't cry anymore. That's the most dangerous thing. That's the most horrible thing. When a person that has so much suffering but can't cry, there's too much to be expressed, they can't go through the catharsis of crying. You know, there's so many Jews that have a hard time crying on Tisha B'Av. And so there are those that will say it's because we don't really feel, we don't really know what we're missing, we're too engaged in the happiness that the world has to offer, but I don't think that's what it is. I think the reason that so many Jews can't cry anymore on Tisha B'Av is because the collective national trauma and pain is so huge that we've already had after so many generations that we just can't cry anymore. It's just we become too numb. There's just too much. And that's what I think Yirmiyah Navi in Jeremiah chapter 8, Yirmiyah Navi cries and says, "Miyitein reishi mayim ve'eini makorm dima ve'efkes chalali basami." Who shall make my head into a fountain of water and then my eyes, a source of tears, that I may cry the killing, the murder of those of my people. Even Yirmiyahu HaNavi was already saying that he can't cry, Mi'iten Reishimayim, if only I'd be able to cry. Because, you know, only those that could cry are those that could really laugh. A person that becomes too numb to cry because they've bottled up all the pain and suffering inside can't really laugh. They enter what Khalil Gibran called the seasonless world, where you shall laugh, but not all of your laughter, and weep, but not all of your tears. If you can't really express and get rid of your emotion of sadness and you build it up inside, then you can't really ever laugh and be happy either. I've said before that my grandmother, Aleh Shalom, my Babi, who survived Auschwitz and lost her parents and siblings there, we all used to make fun of how often she would cry. She would cry all the time, so we'd laugh at her. She's an old Hungarian grandmother. But only years after she passed away did I realize and notice how that she also used to laugh a lot. She knew how to be happy. And the fact that after everything she went through, she was able to laugh was only because she also knew how to always cry. And I thought to myself that maybe that's one of the reasons why we know that always the night of Tisha B'Av is the same night as Pesach. Always the same night of the week that Pesach comes out, the first night of Pesach, our redemption from Egypt, that's when the night of Tisha B'Av comes out. Because there's a deep interconnection between crying and mourning and redemption and happiness. Only if we weep all our tears could we laugh all our laughter. Only if we're able to finally somehow be able to cry will we be really redeemed and come to true freedom and happiness. And maybe that's why the future prophecy of Amocha Hashem Elokim Dimim Al Kol Panim, that it says, the prophet Yirmiyahu says that in the future Hashem will wipe away tears from all faces. Because when Mashiach comes, the tears that the Jews are going to cry are going to be so infinite that only God will be able to wipe them away. Kleenex wouldn't be able to produce enough tissues to wipe away the tears that the Jewish people have been gathering and building up over the centuries. So, Mocha Hashem Elokim Dimim Al Kol Panim, only Hashem will be able to take away all those tears and dry all those tears. May we finally have that day that we could cry out all of our suffering and all the things we've been through nationally and individually, those tears that we've cried under the blankets when no one saw, those tears that we thought were meaningless, that didn't mean anything. Hashem should dry them and show that He's preserved all of them, that each tear had meaning, each tear purified us, and each tear brought us closer to the complete redemption, the eternal joy that we will celebrate together with the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu. May we see it today and dance with Mashiach Tzidkenu together this Sunday in the Beis HaMikdash.